Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Rambo. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison. How are things out in the great state of Wisconsin today, buddy? I think I might already know the answer.
Well, up in Green Bay, the fans and the team's back is feeling much better after the Giant Monkey got lifted off of the Packers' back on last night. You know, the last two times the Giants have made trips to Green Bay in the playoffs, the Giants have gone on to win the Super Bowl. Well, not this year. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Great game overall. Packers get the W. Very slow. Uncharacteristic slow start during this stretch of games Green Bay's played, but at the end of the day, the score at the on the scoreboard is what matters. And the boy, did the Packers take it to the Giants, 38-13. So, Packer Nation celebrating that news today, celebrating the Packer victory. Packer Nation also kind of sad that Jordy Nelson. Likely done for the remainder of the year. Now, there is a very slight chance that he could play Sunday, but he's got three fractured ribs, so I tend to doubt it's going to happen. And, you know, long-term health for Jordy Nelson, I think it's good just to let him heal up and get healthy. So that's just my opinion of it. And if the Packers make a run to the Super Bowl, if they weaken the Super Bowl and the championship game, maybe there's a chance he could be ready to go by the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Packers get that far, but, you know, it could be a lengthy healing process for him. But, you know, disappointing to see. But other than that, things are going great in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm going to throw it back to you. How are things going out in Western PA? I heard a huge gasp of freaking out when Ben Roethlisberger got hurt yesterday and went to the post game press conference with a walking boot on. So what's the word out there?
Well, he's fine now. Apparently he's fine today. So much ado about nothing. But for me, Evan, I'm coming live from the sizzling home studio, 39 degrees on the space heater today. 39, so if I stop talking,
Don't worry.
Yeah, I should just not even have it on. Now, who needs it? With 39 degrees, I should be able to tough that out, right? You know, no need for a heater. By the time the show's over, it'll probably be up to like 40. No, the walking boot, Evan, that's all you heard about today. That's all you heard about is should Ben have been in the game? Why was Antonio Brown still returning punts? And Mike Tomlin this and Mike Tomlin that. And you know what? If he wouldn't have got hurt, if there would have been the walking boot on his leg yesterday, I guarantee that none of that would have came up today. If he would have showed up in that press conference with no walking boot on, Evan, there is no way in the world that anybody would have said, I shouldn't say that. Somebody would have said it. But for the most part, it would not even have come up that Ben Roethlisberger played that game to its entirety. And it's always something. And, you know, I can kind of agree, okay, he got hurt. Well, then if you're going to have your quarterback in there and the game's in hand, then don't call pass play. Just hand the ball off. You had D'Angelo Williams in the game. Le'Veon Bell was out. So, yeah, it was a day where Mike Tomlin was pretty much put into the frying pan, Evan. So before we get into the Packer game, and I know we're going to talk the rest of the playoffs tomorrow night, but since you brought it up, what were your thoughts? I mean, the game was in hand, Big Ben in the game. Do you think that he should have been pulled out of that game early? Because because of the walking boot, it opened up a can of worms, and it's now the Twitter poll on many pages out here. Should Big Ben have been pulled from this game early? What are your thoughts quickly? Because we definitely want to talk about Green Bay Packer football.
Well, he probably definitely should not have been in the game at that point. It was out of hand. The Dolphins had lost. you know, there is no way the Dolphins are going to come back and win this game. So I definitely don't think he should have been in the game. I just think you're playing with fire when you keep him in the game that long. And, you know, you got a tough game with Kansas City coming off the following weekend. You got to make sure he's healthy to go. Kansas City's a very tough team, a very efficient quarterback, a defense that is very, very stout, and a defense that can get after the quarterback. You want your quarterback 100% going up against Kansas City. So it'll be interesting to see how his mobility is affected, because from my understanding, it ended up being an ankle sprain pretty much. And I know there's a technical term for the type of sprain that he has that Mike in the morning talked about, but I'm not going to get into the technical term for the type of sprain. But it's an ankle sprain, and I don't know how much he's going to practice this week, but you know, ankle sprains are different for everybody. There's no one, you know, this is how you heal this ankle or this is how you get better for this ankle. It's different for everybody. I don't think NFL-wise Ben has ever suffered an ankle sprain, possibly in college or high school. But if he's never suffered an ankle sprain before, it's even harder to, you know, to really get back from. You look at Ricky Weeks, and I know baseball is a different sport, if you look at Ricky Weeks, he severely sprained his ankle, and I think stepping on first base, and it took him a long time before he finally got back to health. So, you know, probably should not have been in the game. But, you know, we do got to talk Packers and Giants, and offensively try. You know, the Packers' past two games have started out uncharacteristically slow. The five games prior to these last two, they've scored first and they've scored, you know, often and getting teams into a hole early. And this game, Packers offense started out slow. And Aaron Rodgers especially, he did not look good until the drive they scored at the 2:22 mark of the first half to get them on the board to make it a 7-6 game. And the offensive line got criticized a little bit on one of the callers on one of the local shows here. And the thing is, pass blocking wise, the offensive line played great. Even when Rodgers got sacked, I think, three or four times in the first half, the offensive line blocked for him really, really well. The sacks weren't on the offensive line. They were on Aaron Rodgers. He had plenty of time to throw the ball. But Aaron Rodgers went into some old habits that he had last year and early this year, where he would hold onto the ball looking for the home run and not really taking what the defense gave him. And then offensively, it really was almost a tale of two halves. And I say two halves because, like I said, about the 220 mark, 222 mark is when Rodgers finally got it going. And the Packers offense pretty much rolled from that point on, going in the locker room with the 14-6 lead. And then after the Giants cut it to 14-13, after McCarthy very stupidly goes for it on 4th-and-1, the offense answered for 24 unanswered points at that point. And I say stupidly because the way the game is going, and I know McCarthy often gets criticized for being too conservative, but that was not the appropriate time to go for it. It was not the appropriate time. Punt the ball, flip the field, pin the Giants back inside the 10-yard line and force them to go the length of the field. The Giants hadn't scored a touchdown yet at this point, and they were dropping passes left and right, and the Packers' defense was doing just enough to shut down the Giants. And to me, at that point, you forced the Giants to drive the length of the field. But McCarthy goes for it, and Rodgers but that, you know, that could have been the turning point. But as I said, the Packers scored 24 unanswered. And, you know, Rodgers just played a great game. Him, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Jared Cook, Ty Montgomery catching the ball. The Packers played a great game. And Aaron Rodgers had plenty of time to throw the entire game. And I saw on Twitter some Giants fans whining about holding. But you watched the offensive line throw. They just dominated, and, you know, the Packers' offense is a machine right now. And it's unfortunate that Jordy Nelson got knocked out early in the game. And I know, you know, people are calling it a dirty hit. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a dirty hit. It just was an unfortunate hit of the helmet to the ribs. I don't think he was looking to take Jordy Nelson out of the game. I know based off NFL rules, it should have been a foul, but a penalty. But I don't think he was maliciously trying to take Jordy Nelson out of the game. He was trying to separate Jordy Nelson from the football, and he had pretty much already committed to laying the hit when Jordy Nelson bobbled the ball up in the air. And, you know, if Nelson catches the ball, he probably doesn't get hurt. But Nelson had the uncharacteristic bobble and drop and exposed his ribs, and he got hit pretty hard. Nelson typically is very good at avoiding that big hit. So offensively, very impressed with what Green Bay had to do, except for the slow start. But they got it going. McCarthy adjusted, which typically didn't happen too much early in the year, especially during the four-game stretch where they lost four in a row. They didn't do a lot of in-game adjustments, but this game they did, and they started doing more crossing routes, doing a couple slants, doing some stuff across the middle, and getting between the linebackers and the safety. So offensively, Troy, what really stood out to you? And I know when it's that cold as it is, ball security is number one, and the Packers did not turn it over at all.
Yeah, here's what stood out to me, deja vu. Deja vu on a Super Bowl win, and this is why. I actually tweeted this out to Good Morning Football when they were talking to Packers, and the emergence of Christine Michael. Now, the stats may not look impressive, Evan, 10 for 47, I believe, but the way he ran, is this another coming of a backup running back thrust into playoff mode, and all of a sudden you reestablish a running game. Again, the stats weren't great, Evan, but when Michael got his chance late in the game, he churned his legs, got some yards, and it reminded me of the run to the Super Bowl with James Starks. Now, they're not the same runner, but the same thing happened in the Super Bowl run. James Starks comes in, gives the Packers a running game in the postseason, just enough. You know, I went back and I looked up the stats, and Starks averaged 78 yards a game in that Super Bowl run. And I'm not saying Michael's going to be the workhorse and get your 20 to 25 carries, but 10 carries, 47 yards, Evan, and very critical yards late in the game to eat clock, get yards, positive yards. The guy was running hard, full head of steam, north, south, loved the way he ran. Everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers, the Hail Mary, and everything else. What stood out to me was Mr. Michael. I liked it. I know Ty Montgomery played great, and I know there's a lot of other great spots. I'm just impressed with Michael in this game. You know, he's got a long way to go, but in this game, I really liked the fact of how he ran. He got a chance. He got 10 carries. And my hat's off to him. Now, I'm not saying that this is all of a sudden going to thrust him into the starting role. Ty Montgomery's there. But if you can get that productivity, Evan, from here on out, it might be just what the Packers need to make another Super Bowl run. Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, I want to go back to one thing you said, a couple things, actually. Pass protection was awesome. You have to give the defensive secondary some credit, but like you said, could have gotten rid of that ball, thrown it away. He tried one time, got the intentional grounding. I thought that was quite funny. Aaron Rodgers just looked at the referee like he normally does with the deer and headlights. Looked like, what are you talking about? But you got to give some credit to that secondary of the Giants. They played very well at times. But that offensive line, Evan, that touchdown pass to Devontae Adams, was it eight and a half seconds he had? 8.5 seconds, Evan. Now, come on. You are an offensive line. I know that they're not going to turn around and say, come on, Aaron, get rid of the ball. But how hard is it, and I'm going to let you answer, and then I'll get back to my next point, but I want to throw this out. How hard is it as an offensive lineman, Evan, to sustain a block for 8 seconds?
Difficult, especially when you got some of the offensive, defensive lineman like the Giants have, like Olivia Vernon. He's, you know, I think he only ended up having two pressures the entire game. And Vernon's an all-pro. He got paid big money by the Giants for a reason. And when you're going up against guys like him, it's hard enough. It's hard enough against average guys, let alone, you know, top guys. And the offensive line, they did awesome. You got to tip your hat to them. They, you know, they kept Rodgers pretty clean other than sacks Rodgers took. And, you know, you bring up that the intentional grounding call. That is very uncharacteristic, Aaron Rodgers. I don't understand what he was even thinking in that regard. I know people argue it took the Packers out of field goal range, but that would have been a tough field goal to make anyway, even if without the penalty. But the offensive line, it's very tough to do, and they definitely, for sure, did their job yesterday.
Yeah, and they actually, like I said, did well run blocking late in that game. So I want to go back to the call from McCarthy. Yes, what a boneheaded play. We've criticized Mike McCarthy on this show, Evan, of being conservative. Why didn't you go for it? Why aren't you more aggressive? It was like, I'm going to show all you boneheads out there, and I'm going to be just make this call out of my rear end and go for it. You know, even if you would have gotten that call, Evan, I'd probably be saying the same thing. Why even take that chance? And it did backfire. The Giants scored a touchdown 2 plays later. Luckily, the offense caught fire. But that literally could have been a huge change in the game. But, again, the Packers' offense did well. You have to give part of that as a little blunder to the Giants on special teams. But I also looked at that play, Evan, on that kickoff, that he almost had to field that because that ball was going to land in the field of play. You don't know which way that ball is going to bounce. If he didn't field that, let it bounce. What if it bounced, hit him, you know, and ricochets forward or ricocheted out of bounds or, you know, he didn't recover it. I mean, he almost had to field it. It was almost like a perfect placed kick by Crosby. I know people want to criticize him for, why did you feel it? Why didn't you let it go out of bounds? Well, that ball was going to land in bounds from my view. Now, I haven't looked again at the replay, but I really think that ball was landing in bounds. You can't let it hit the ground. So I think it was a perfectly placed kick by Crosby and made the Giants have to make a decision, which worked out to the Packers' advantage. But I don't think you could have let that ball bounce, especially on a cold day, a frozen turf. You don't know which way that ball is going to bounce. Yeah, it could have went out of bounds. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it may go out of bounds. But what if it didn't? What if it hit the ground, took a Packer bounce backwards, or, like I said, forward off the receiver? The Packers could have recovered there. So, I know people want to criticize him for fielding that kick, but I think he almost had to. And you got to give some credit to Crosby and special teams for that placement into the corner. It could have backfired, too, and put the ball back out at the 40, where it may have went. But I thought that was a big play. That stood out to me. And then the last thing is the hit on Jordy Nelson. Come on now. Packer fans, you lay off the Giants guy. He wasn't – if he really was trying to intentionally hurt Jordy Nelson, I know that – the league will probably fine him. He led with his helmet. That is supposed to be a penalty. But when you watch the play and even watch it in slow motion, it was a football play. Nelson extended himself. The defensive back went to make a play on the ball. I don't think there was any intent to maliciously get Jordy Nelson injured and knock him out of the game. The guy was playing football. It happens. I have no ill will against the Giants. It sucks that Jordy Nelson is hurt, but I don't think there was one bit of intent. Oh, I have a chance to knock Jordy Nelson out, so here I go. I don't think that was at any means what was happening there. It was a football play. Back off. Okay, maybe the officials missed a call, but I thought it was a football play. But I want to get your quick thoughts on Michael's performance in the run game, Evan, and then we'll switch over to the defensive side of the ball quickly.
Well, first, Christian Michael, I know it's called Christine, but, you know, it is pronounced Christian. Christian Michael, you know, he really came on huge out of the gate in the second half. I know they got stopped short on one board on fourth down. That was probably the most efficient drive, but you got to give him credit. He ran hard. Now, he doesn't always go where he's supposed to be going, but... you know, he's very explosive, and I got a feeling he's gonna break a big run sooner or later. And kick returns too, a big 31-yard return at a very big moment. I think it happened after the Giants scored that touchdown. He had that big 31-yard return. And before we jump to the defense, I gotta disagree with you on the I think it was Rainey for fielding that kick. I think it was very stupid of Rainey. I think Rainey should have let it bounce. The way the ball is going, it looked like it was either going to go through the end zone or go out of bounds. I get what you're saying. You don't know exactly what's going to happen once it bounces, hits the ground. But where he caught the ball, it looked like it was going out of bounds. And he went from possibly putting the ball at the 40-yard line to the 2-yard line, and that's about 38 yards of field position. And you just had a 44 whatever yard touchdown strike to put you on the board, and now 41 yard touchdown strike to get you a touchdown on the board, and you got the Packers defense on their heels, and then you do that. So to me, Rainey was just stupid for even trying to field it. He should have let it hit the ground. You know, at worst, you know, you can knock it out of bounds or you can jump on it or whatever, but you got to let that hit the ground. Now, defensively for Green Bay, got to tip my hat to Green Bay. Jake Ryan, great game. Demarius Randle, other than one coverage of King, which I still think the safety that knew his job, I think Randle had a really strong game. And Julius Peppers, old man Peppers is just dominating right now. He had another strong game against Detroit, another strong game this week. Peppers, you could tell Peppers really wants it. He knows that his window is almost completely shut, and he's going after it. He wants that Super Bowl. He wants to be playing in Houston in a few weeks, and you could tell he's very fired up for that. And then Clay Matthews, talk about a hustle play. Strips the ball for Manning. Him and Peppers, really the only two that realized it was a live ball. Joe Thomas is standing there looking like his bum up his ass, just standing there. A Giants player very nonchalantly picks the ball up, and Matthews just lights him up and recovers the fumble. And I'm glad you know, the rest didn't blow the whistle because it obviously was a fumble. But if they would have, even if they would have ruled it an incomplete pass, and if they would have caught a penalty on Matthews, I would have been pissed because the whistle hadn't blown. Matthews is doing his job. He's playing through the whistle, and he's making a play. And the secondary for Green Bay, especially Guttner, to me, did very well. Early in the game, they struggled a little bit. Fortunately, the Giants had a few drops, especially Odell Beckham Jr., the wall puncher. He put a nice little hole in the wall outside the Packer locker room after his post-game press conference. But you got to tip your hats to the defense. They played outstanding. Probably one of their better games they played all year. And as I said, it was a great game for me, a great game to watch, and Packers defense can continue. So that's my thought on the defense.
Yeah, I thought they had their moments. You know, you look at this offense, Evan, and it was not rated very high, but, you know, to me, it's like, why wasn't it? You got Eli Manning, you got good and bad Eli. I know people want to say, well, here's Eli, bad Eli. Eli Manning didn't play that bad of a game. When you look at all the drops that his receivers had, and that's part of the game. And can you, people say, well, you know, and I know we didn't bring it up. The boat trip, the weather, you know what? Drops are part of the game. As Packer fans, we've been on that side of the ball. Devontae Adams dropping some balls. It happens. But I thought Eli Manning played pretty well. I thought the defense stood the test of time. They could have gotten down on themselves very early because, let's face it, Evan, that first half, the Giants were taking it to the Packers, moving the ball, being able to convert some things, but some key drops helped the Packers defense. And, hey, it's part of the game. Mm-hmm. Now, if they make those catches, could be a little bit different game. I'm not going to say the outcome would have been different, not the way that offense played when Aaron Rodgers got it going. Changed the outcome of the flow of the game and so on and so forth. But hey, I'm not going to make excuses. The passes were there. They didn't execute. And you know, you're not going to say, well, that it's just because of that. That defense stood the test of time, Evan. They kept fastening their chin straps, going hard, playing hard. And that secondary, you know, they just are resilient. This is what I like about this secondary, Evan. It may not be the best in football. And when they get burned, they just fasten the chin strap up again and they go back out at it. They don't hang their head. They don't pout. If they get burned, they just go back and play another down. And I like that because you look at the teams that now stand in their way. They're going to go to Dallas. We'll talk about that game on Thursday night. You got to deal with Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys are going to make some plays. But if you're not going to pout and you're not going to cry when you get beat, I love it. And then, you know, you look at, okay, you might have the Seahawks or you might have the Falcons. And if it's the Falcons, you've got another high-powered offense. As a defensive player, as a defensive back, you've got to forget. And when you get burned, strap it up. And when you make a good play, you strap it up again. That's what I like about this defense, Evan. They're just out there playing hard every play. They're not letting other things affect them. Highs, lows, they seem like they're just playing with a lot of intensity, and I think that can help you overcome a lot of adversity. You're getting beat up. You're getting dominated. They're moving the ball. Hey, we're just going to go play, and eventually good things will happen. We saw it late in the game. Clay Matthews with that, I think it's a great play. It's a great play, individual play by Clay Matthews. I mean, he gets to the quarterback, and then he runs. And that's a long run, Evan. That wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to run 2 yards to pick this ball up. He literally had to run and sprint to the ball, hit a guy, jump on the ball. It was a great play. But what I love about this defense, Evan, I'll say it the last time, the resiliency and the effort they're playing with really have me motivated that this defense is going to continue to make plays and get turnovers. Yeah, they're going to get beat. Every defense gets beat. But I like the way that they're playing with resiliency. What are your final thoughts?
Well, I guess my final thought, I forgot to mention one of my final thoughts. I think a forgotten play of the game was actually a drop pass. Jared Cook. He doesn't drop. He had a drop pass right before halftime. If Jared Cook doesn't drop that pass, we don't have the Hail Mary right before halftime to put the Packers up 14-6. So, to me, that's definitely a play of the game. And it's funny saying that about a drop, but yeah, Jared Cook, his drop pass is definitely turned into one of the plays of the game.
Yeah, I'd like to say he dropped it on purpose, but I don't think he did drop it on purpose. But you're absolutely right.
It would have been a tough catch anyways.
Yeah, it would have been. But like you said, it worked out for the better. And, you know, amazing that little Randall Cobb is standing there all alone and the ball drops right in the breadbasket. Good for the Packers, bad for the Giants. A little bit of karma, Evan. A little bit of karma, that's all I'm going to say. But it was nice to see the Packers flip the light switch on offense. And, you know, I was a little frustrated in that first half. I really was offensively, just because we've been teased during this win streak with how well and how efficient this offense has been. But, you know, the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now, Evan, it bodes well moving forward. I mentioned this. And I'm standing to it. I said the winner of this game could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, and I'm still standing by it. I think the Packers have a great shot Letting the cat out of the bag then, you know, for what I think is going to happen in Dallas. But and I'll tell you why on Thursday night when we preview the game. But I'm standing to it. The winner of the Giant-Packer game will most likely represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I think these are the two hottest teams in the NFC. I think they have an opportunity to do some things. And, you know, yeah, the Packers started off slow, but I thought they were going to. I thought that, you know, these two teams would be in that slugfest early, and then the Packers would make some adjustments, see what that good secondary was doing, and they did. And they just took care of business. So that's all I have. What else do you have for the listeners tonight, Evan?
I got nothing else.
Well, tomorrow night we're going to have a great show, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. We will be looking at the other three games on Wild Card Weekend and looking ahead to what lies ahead in the AFC and the other NFC game. So hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witz-Allison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelt, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.